Now, back to the Eric Stewart Show.
Welcome back to the Eric Stewart Show. Stuart Rosenthal, Mr. Beacon himself from the Beacon Newspapers, joins me. What do you got for us today?
Some practical stuff people might want to know about helping them out in the kitchen, okay?
Okay.
Some reasons to love dark leafy greens. You know, they're really so popular nowadays, at least in the recipe world and in television, the kale, spinach, collards. They're really wonderful ways to cook them. I've just been discovering a few myself. They make great salads. But you have to know what to do. I suggest people go online and or watch one of these TV shows and see how to prepare it. But I'll give you some good health reasons to bother for all that. First of all, they help you shed pounds. They really have relatively few calories, and yet they really satisfy your hunger. There's so much fiber and water content in these things. They keep you feeling full longer, according to a lot of studies. Furthermore, they're very good for you. They're high in beta-carotene and alpha-carotene, which are the antioxidants that studies have found can really reduce your risk for type 2 diabetes. And we all know that diabetes is a growing problem among Americans. It helps keep your brain young. This is very interesting. Those who ate 1 to 2 servings of dark leafy greens a day had mental abilities of those over a decade younger, according to some research recently
presented. So for the 12-year-olds that do this, they're like 2-year-olds.
I should have known you'd come up with a way to turn that around.
I mean, what's the difference between 102 and 92? Okay, I mean.
How about 40 and 30?
Okay, so 40
and 30. 40, okay?
Right.
Anyway, it's high in vitamin K, and vitamin K plays a main role in keeping our brains functioning well. So they think that might explain that one.
So there's a great movie called Sick, Fat, and Nearly Dead. Have you seen this movie?
I have not.
It's a great story. It's this guy's like 200 pounds, and he spends 60 days on a juice fast, and he loses 120 pounds, and he goes under a doctor's prescription, the whole thing, and it's made with kale, it's made with apples and ginger and all this stuff thrown into it. And that's all he eats. It's a good movie to watch. It's kind of fun to watch.
It's a documentary or
it's a documentary?
It's a real documentary.
He documents him going through this process. So anyway, kale has incredible benefits. I'm stealing from your story.
You are, but that's good. That's good. You're supporting it. Let's move on. Okay. Exercise. We all know it's not just diet, but exercise goes a long way towards keeping our brains functioning and towards keeping us in good health.
Right.
So, but it's hard sometimes to get yourself to do it.
Yeah, it is. Especially when it's cold outside. You don't want to go out there and do something. Yeah.
Right. So the story that we have has one of the recommendations that I myself do, and it works great for me, and that is you make a deal with yourself that you can only watch your favorite TV program or your favorite CD or whatever, you know, when you're on the treadmill. So we have a treadmill set up in front of a television set in our house, and my wife and I both only will watch these great shows that we want to watch when we're on the treadmill. And it works beautifully because we look forward to it, and the time just flies by. We don't pay any attention to what we're doing on the treadmill.
That's great. I'm going to use that with my kids, you know. If you want to eat, you can eat while you're doing the dishes.
You just give them a horse bag.
Right.
Just munch on them.
You're going to put a muzzle on them. Right.
two for one. There we go. Okay. You can also, of course, just reward yourself like we all do, you know, and like we do with our kids, like you talk about your children. So give yourself a prize. If you've been good for a while, you've really kept up your exercise all week, then you get to go out or have a this or that or whatever. And just remember that everything you do in the course of a day really counts as exercise. So if you are walking the dog, if you're vacuuming the house, those things count as using up calories and keeping in good health. So
that's excellent. Great advice from Mr. Beacon himself. Read the free copy of the Beacon newspaper anywhere you like, online at thebeaconnewspapers.com, or pick up a free copy at over 1,500 locations, folks, right here in the metropolitan D.C. area. Thanks, Stuart.
Thank you, Eric.
I'm thrilled to have John Garza. He's a dear friend of mine. He's also a profoundly gifted attorney. John, you're licensed in what jurisdictions?
I'm licensed in Maryland and D.C., and then we associate with lawyers in Virginia and other places as well.
Excellent. Now, you've been practicing for 30 years?
33 years.
33 years. I brought John in to discuss some of the issues he's been dealing with wet basements recently. John, tell us a story here.
Well, you asked me what's going on in the real estate law area, and what's happening right now as we speak today is I'm seeing a lot of wet basement cases. The heavy rains that we've had recently and all the snow from the wintertime has caused a lot of basements to flood. Mm-hmm. And so people call us up and want to know what are their legal rights when their basement floods. Generally speaking, if you have a flood from the outside, you're going to have problems with your homeowner's insurance coverage. If, on the other hand, a sump pump fails or something like that, then you probably can make a claim against your homeowner's insurance. So I would just tell the listeners right now, check your homeowner's insurance policy, because you may not have the coverage that you think you have. You may also want to consider getting flood insurance. it's too late to get flood insurance after the flood. So a lot of clients will call and they'll say, hey, we've had a major flood. Maybe we should get flood insurance. Like, well, it's not going to do any good now,
right?
Because that won't cover a pre-existing problem.
Right.
So think about whether you might need flood insurance. There are some properties, even here in the Washington, D.C. area, that might want to consider flood insurance. There's a lot of underground water. You don't have to be near a river or anything to have water problems underneath your house. So look into that situation. Check your sump pumps. If you have a water issue, you may want to get a second sump pump as a backup, or make sure that the sump pumps that you have are indeed working. Do you have a battery backup? Usually when you need a sump pump, it's the same time as the electricity's out. Do you have a system to protect yourself in the event that the electricity goes out and now you have water coming into the basement? You asked me what's going on. I said, well, actually, right now today, floods. Floods are hot right now. It's the spring. It's a lot of rain, and the soil out there is very wet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting a few calls here and there and right now about wet basements. So check that out, folks. It could be a real problem, especially if you have a finished basement. Then it's a real big problem.
Recently, John, I have two houses on the market now. Both have French drain systems where the owner went through and they excavated around the perimeter of the interior wall and then put in a drain system that leads to a sump pump that kicks any water out, right? Great system as long as the sump pump works.
Right.
So I'm highly advising my listeners to put in a battery backup to the sump pump so that if the power goes out, you're still pumping water, because you don't want to have the power go out, your sump pump isn't working, and the basement floods. And a battery backup will provide you enough power, usually a day or so. And it's also a great selling feature. Now I'm selling both houses, both have battery backups, and the basements are dry as a bone right now, even though one's got a pretty big slope right towards the basement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, water's getting into that French drain, water's going into the sump pump, and it's kicking out to the street, but no wetness in the basement.
It's not a bad idea, too, Eric, to go to Home Depot or somewhere like that, get yourself a regular sump pump.
Right.
That you can just throw on the inside the well of the sump pump. If yours breaks or dies, it's going to take a while for the plumber to get there to fix it. But if you have just a cheap $100, $50 sump pump, you can throw it in that well there, run a hose outside, and you're fine. It's a temporary fix, but when the water starts to come in, it can be a matter of hours, and you'll have 6 inches of water in your basement.
John, you're one of the top lawyers in Maryland, D.C. You've been named a super lawyer and one of the top trial lawyers in D.C., and you've been rated as AV by Martindale Hubble.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations. Kudos to you.
Well, thank you very much, Eric.
Yeah. And John, you do every kind of representation. If people want to reach out to you and discuss, maybe they're having a problem with a wet basement, they bought a house, the seller didn't disclose, and they're not sure what their rights are, they'd like to talk with you about that or some other latent defect in the sale of a property, how could they reach you?
Well, the way to reach me is just to give me a call, 301-340-8200, 301-340-8200. Give me a call and we can talk about it. You can reach me on the internet as well. Just Google my name, John Garza, G-A-R-Z-A, and I'm easy to find.
Quick disclosure of a latent defect I'm dealing with in Fairfax Station. I've got a listing that's probably a $650,000 single-family home. It's on a couple of acres, backs up to parkland, and it's really a beautiful home, but not. And here's why. Well, it's been sorely neglected, and after walking through the property, I think it probably has a couple $100,000 worth of work it needs, really. So we're going to list it for $450,000. It's 2,500 square foot, two-car side load garage. You'd think $450,000, that sounds like a bargain. Folks, it is, but you got to have an imagination. Plus, the big kicker on this is the earthquake issue, okay? I drove up, and I'm looking out the backyard, and the owner says to me, oh, yeah, the backyard, half of the backyard dropped about 6 feet after the earthquake 4 or 5 years ago. And I chatted with a real estate attorney named Gail Matthews out of Virginia about this. And Gail said, look, you've got to disclose about the land. And as an agent, I've got to disclose about what I know and what I should know. Because, you know, even though it's just the land, it's not the house, if there's some settlement that's gone on because of the earthquake, who knows? Maybe that would continue, maybe not. She can't say that it's ever affected the house, but we're talking about a 50-foot long, 6-foot deep drop. It's crazy. It's a bit dangerous to me as an agent to go without disclosing that, right?
Well, I'm not sure it's a latent defect, though, because it's something you should be able to see from the naked eye just walking around the property. But I think you are right that you should disclose that. It's certainly the better way to go. It takes away any question about it. But it may not be latent defect because it's an obvious defect. If you walk around the property, you'll see a sinkhole sort of type thing.
So it's not as obvious as you might imagine. It dropped, and it's the grass stayed alive, and so it's got it didn't drop like straight like you saw in, you know, the California quake in 1908 where things just drift straight drop. It dropped, but it settled, and the grass continued to grow. So it looks like two-tiered backyard.
Oh.
Fascinating.
Interesting.
John Garza will be back with me in the next week or two. We're glad you could be a part of the show today. Thank you, John, for joining me.
Thanks for having me, Eric.
Quick break. I'll be right back.